reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first lesson reminds us that the body and blood of Jesus are truly present in the bread and wine, and that those receiving the Lord's Supper must understand the significance of this presence, lest they eat and drink judgment on themselves. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 32, found on page 1227 in your pew Bibles. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered it to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. The gospel lesson shows us how the love of Jesus surrounds this supper. That love should motivate us to love one another. Proper examination for this meal leads us to ask, have I loved like Christ? Coming forward to this meal is a statement to God and each other that we will amend our unloving ways. Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, page 1152. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. There are certain objects that bring back a lot of memories for us. For instance, if I give one of the men in the congregation a cowboy hat, they might be inclined to start speaking like John Wayne all of a sudden. Or if I give someone an old English curved pipe and tell them to put it in their mouth, you might hear them say, "Elementary, dear Watson." Throw out a pair of boxing gloves and have somebody put it on, and they might go, "Yo, Rocky." We associate a lot of things with very objects. And that's not bad. Our Lord Himself used objects to teach about Himself. In fact, binding Himself to those very objects. For instance, there was the Passover lamb and its blood. God attached Himself to that blood. If you put it over the doorpost and lintel of your door, your children did not die the night of the Passover. If you failed to put it on your door and your lintel, you died. Or at least your firstborn did. Granted, on its own, the object has no real power in and of itself, but because God attached His word to it, suddenly it became a mightily powerful thing. You might recall from the Old Testament a man by the name of Naaman, a Syrian general, afflicted with leprosy. He came to Elijah the prophet on the advice of a servant girl, wanting to be healed. Elijah didn't even come out to see him, but just told him to go wash in the Jordan River. A notably dirty river, by the way. Much dirtier than the ones that he had back home. At first, he was insulted by Elijah's treatment. He was just going to go back home and live with his leprosy. But his servants persuaded him. "If they asked you to do some great thing," they said, "wouldn't you have done it? Why not just wash?" And he did that very simple thing with very ordinary water. But because the word of God had been attached to it, suddenly it became extraordinarily powerful, washing away his sin. Ordinary bread and wine. Life-sustaining materials, if you will, but oh so common, particularly in the time period of Jesus. But he takes these objects and he invests them not just with his words, but with himself. "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood." And then he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." and almost immediately in the church. When God's people gathered on Sundays to remember the resurrection of the Lord, they began celebrating this meal. Because there's something about this meal that brings Jesus to mind. There's something that is taught in this meal that brings life to us. And it is that very thing that Jesus said is there in, with, and under, if you will, the forms of bread and wine. It is the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus. It's a relatively simple act, but it really says so much about what Jesus did and about our relationship to Him and, if you will, how we are saved and have that relationship. When you read through the gospel accounts, Jesus obviously taught many things. And also the gospels record that He did many great miracles. But when you look at the function of the miracles and the function of the teaching, that wasn't the primary point, if you will, of the gospel accounts. There really isn't that much in the teaching of Jesus that hadn't been said before. Love your neighbor as yourself, which is so often attributed to Him, that was said long ago in Leviticus. If you will, as teaching ministry just really repeated what God had been saying for thousands of years. There are many miraculous accounts. But by all the miracles Jesus did, He really wasn't trying to change the world. He fed 5,000 one time, 4,000 another time, but people got hungry again. He even raised a few people from the dead, but they died again. Jesus really wasn't trying to tell us something about ourselves in all those miracles that He did. He was trying to tell us something about Him and what He was going to do. And the real function, not just of the Gospels themselves, but if you listen to Jesus, the whole function of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, was about one thing. Take and eat. This is My body given for you. Take and drink. This is My blood shed for you. Without the shedding of that blood of the Son of God, we'd have no relationship with God. Without Him coming into the world and taking on human flesh and then going to the cross and sacrificing that human flesh in our place, we would have no part of Him. And we would die in our sins. And we would suffer forever. It is a very simple act, this eating and drinking. But in these simple little objects, the bread and wine in which our Lord's true body and blood are given to us, the essence of the gospel becomes visible. What we need from God is given to us. A sacrifice for sins that God will accept. In the person of His own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And by that giving of his blood, by that giving up of his own human flesh, we are restored to God's love. Our forgiveness is made sure, and our eternal life is secured. Simple little objects. But ever since our Lord instituted this meal, they have been the means of remembering him again and again and again and again till this very day. And I would contend where people do not value this meal, where it is ignored and set aside, where people fail to practice it, they have forgotten what our Lord did and how deep is our entanglement in sin, and how horrible is that fate that we face without Jesus and his blood. God grant that we never give up the special meal that Jesus gave us to remember him, but also let us proclaim his death in our celebration. And when we know of people who don't care about it anymore, who think that just following the teaching of Jesus is all that God really wants us to do, point them back to the cross, to the giving of a body, to the shedding of blood, because that's how we have a relationship with God and how God wanted us to remember his Son. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.